I'd like to talk to us today about seeing ourselves. I'm guessing that all of us have a mirror at our disposal and you have an idea of what you look like. At least you have an idea of what you think you look like. I know that we have a mirror at our place of work that it's, I didn't pay much money for it. I don't know, maybe $10 or so. And it's one of these long, skinny mirrors. Hung it up on the inside of the door because of the restroom because my wife asked me to. She felt like she wanted it in there like that. But I've noticed, I don't know if it looks like this to her, but it really makes me look weird when I look in there. I'm talking about, have you noticed that? I mean, you can tell.
I'm looking to see if my skirt's right or not.
I mean, you can get an idea of some things, but I'm going to tell you, it don't look normal. It's something that's distorted. I'm not exactly sure how to describe it, but something's distorted about that. And, you know, you can think that you look a certain way, but wait till you see somebody's picture they took of you. Have you ever noticed how much different that looks sometimes? And you can look at that picture and take it over there and look in the mirror and look at the picture and it's like, I don't look like that. But there's no denying that's you in the picture, you know. It's hard to deny that's somebody, you know, that's yourself. Well, I want us to think about today is seeing ourselves. I'd like to begin in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and pick up a familiar story. I know that we all have heard this read at different times, but I'd like to start reading in the 3rd verse. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." You know, the easiest thing for me to see is other people's faults. That is the easiest thing. I can look in the mirror and think I'm the most handsome dude that ever walked the face of the earth. But, you know, in reality is that's not a true statement. And reality is that other people probably don't have that opinion of me either. Probably what they see is the things that I look over. I'm talking about outward appearance there. But if it holds true in our outward appearance, you know, all of us, if we stand just right, we look better in the mirror. Right? You know, there's just something about, you get the right position and you're a lot more attractive than you were if maybe you get in a little different position. But you know, those undesirable features is what a lot of people, other people see. And it's the things we don't want to see, so we don't look at it. And if it's true in our natural appearance, it's so much more true in our character and in our spiritual life too. And this, Jesus said here, why are you focused in on this mote, this small problem in someone else when you've got a large something in your own life? But they didn't see it. And Jesus' advice in this particular situation is that's hypocritical. It's hypocritical to be able to see everybody else's bad side and you can't see anything wrong with yourself. So I just want us to start out realizing that the easiest thing for us to see is other people's faults. And I'd like to go to John, the 21st chapter. I believe that Peter and John and James was most likely there when Jesus gave that instruction about not being concerned about the mote in somebody else's eye when they had a beam in their own. But notice that the end of John's record of the gospel, in the 21st chapter, again in the 14th verse, he said, "This now is the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Lord, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake he, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So old Peter here had got some personal instruction from the Lord. But it was hard for him to just accept who he was and to put it into practice. It was hard for him to just accept the responsibility Jesus gave him and follow through with it. Why was it? Because he was just like we are. It's easy for us to look around and see somebody else's faults and see somebody else's lack of responsibility and lack of engagement and all of that. If you've got children in the household and you give one of them a job, and if they pass by one of their siblings that's not doing something right then, they're liable to snap at them and say, you need to come and help me. Ever seen that situation? Daddy told me I had to do something and you need to come and help me. And Jesus said, Peter, what is that to thee? You just follow my instructions. You just see to yourself and your responsibility. But the easy thing for me to do, the easy thing for all of us to do, is look around and say, they got problems. There's a lot of trouble in their life. They need to be doing something for the Lord. They need to be helping in the congregation. We can look around and see that. It's so easy. That's just like, we say it's just as plain as the nose on your face. Well, it is, but you might think you got a nice looking nose and somebody else thinks that you don't, you see. We just look on and see these things, and it's easy for us to do that. And the only thing we don't understand is why other people don't do something about it. Right? It's easy for us to see that. But it's hard for us to look at ourselves. It's hard for us to see ourselves. So let's notice in Exodus, we'll begin down this journey of trying to know how to see ourselves. And let's look in Exodus, the 33rd chapter. And I want to read something here that Moses said. Beginning in verse 18 of the 33rd chapter of Exodus. And he said, this is Moses speaking, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. In other words, let me see you. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This is God's answer. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to them whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass when my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will make thy take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now Moses had a very honorable desire. And his honorable desire was that he would be able to see God in all his glory. And you know, it is less likely, it's more difficult for mankind to have a sincere desire to really see God. Did you know that that is a step above carnality for us to have a desire to see God for who he was? And Moses had that desire. He said, Lord, let me see you. Let me see your glory. Let me see what you look like. I have an earnest desire. I've heard your voice. I've seen you in action, so to speak. But I want to see what you look like. And now I'm going to tell you, that's a move in the right direction. We will never be able to see ourselves if we don't first have a sincere desire to see God. All right. In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, so part of the Beatitudes here, Jesus says, part of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's honorable, but it's more difficult for humanity to have a desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness than it is to hunger and thirst after corruption. We look around us today, and you know the most popular headlines that of news that anybody could ever imagine is negative things. Disasters, calamities, catastrophes, all of those things, when they go splashing across the front of the newspaper or on whatever news media that people are getting their information from, I'm going to tell you, that's the ones that make the front headlines. If you got Mr. and Mrs. Smith that has celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary, that'll be on the back page somewhere. If we put it on the front page, people would wonder, why are you putting this on the front page? I want to read about that train wreck that killed 153 people or whatever it is. I want to read about that. Don't put that on the back page. That's carnality, and man without God gravitates to that. It's easy for us to look for problems, look for troubles in other people. But when it's something that's uplifting, it's more difficult. So it's more difficult to have an earnest desire and a hunger and thirst after God. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 6. I want to notice what the prophet Isaiah said. He said here in the first verse, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. I saw. He got a vision. He got a glimpse. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, and 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. He got a very powerful picture in his mind of who God was. Isaiah had a desire. Moses had a desire. Jesus said, "Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst after righteousness." It's honorable to have a desire to see the Lord. Isaiah seen one. But notice how the sixth verse says here, or the fifth verse, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So Isaiah here began to see himself. Yes. And I'm telling you, it's important for us to have a vision and a desire to see the Lord before we can ever see ourselves. We begin to try to look at ourselves. You can look at yourself in a physical mirror. You can look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word. But if we don't have a desire to see God first, we won't really see who we are. We'll see what we want to see. We'll see our good side. We'll see how that we're like some notable character in the Scripture that we want to be like, that we want people to recognize us as being similar to. So the next thing that's most difficult is for us to see ourselves in our where we stand before the Lord. Look, turn to an example in 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And we have a story here of David. And David had sinned. David had violated God's commandments. And in doing so, he not only committed sin in himself, he caused another man to lose his life. He caused a murder to happen. In the 13th verse of the 2nd chapter, we're going to read how he reacted. I'm in the wrong chapters. 12th chapter, 13th verse. Nathan the prophet had come to him and told him that You have sinned. You've displeased the Lord. And the way he presented it was, he talked to him about a rich man that had lots of livestock, and how this man, this wealthy person, took this little lamb, the only lamb that his poor neighbor had, and he took that little lamb and for himself. He stole that little lamb from his poor neighbor. And David immediately seen the fault in someone else. Isn't that easy for us? It was so easy for David to see this other man, the fault in this other man. And he said, well, he just rose up in himself and he said, "Who is this man? I'm the king. I'll take care of that. I'll see that this man is brought to justice. We can't have that going on in our country, in our nation, amongst our people. We can't have that." And you ever seen that in yourself? Well, we can't put up with that. There's a terrible fault over there. And then Nathan said to him, in the 13th verse, David said to Nathan, what's that? Well, that Nathan told him that he was the man. He's the one that took the little lamb, because he took Uriah's 7th verse. He says, "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.'" He gave him everything he could imagine in the 8th verse, and he said, "If you would have asked, I would have given you more. But you didn't ask. You went and stole from this poor man. This man that was under your control, so to speak." And David realized it. And this was David's response. David began to see himself. And I'm going to tell you, it's tough. It's difficult for us to see ourselves. But in the 13th verse, David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." But he gave him some consequences because of that. And Lord, help us to not just be able to see the faults and the errors in other people, but Lord, help me to get in a place where I have a vision of God and be able to see my own faults. I can feel so clear. I can feel so justified in my, whether it's my feelings, my actions, my dispositions, the things I do, the things I say, all of this, but I can't see myself. All I can see is other people's faults. But Lord, help me to get in a place where I have a real desire to see the Lord, and want to have a real desire like Isaiah to be in His presence, and then the Lord can help us to know that I've got needs too. I've got troubles. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm just a human. I know that I've got probably more bad sides than I do good sides. Well, let's read. I won't read it, but I'm going to suggest that you read Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is David's repentance for his grievous sin. And he starts out saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." David humbled himself before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when we're able to see ourselves and how we look, and now other people see us sometimes, I believe the Lord can help us if we'll have a desire for Him, if we'll be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I believe the Lord can help us to humble down and say, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me, Lord. I'm a miserable creature without You." It's easy for me to look around and see other people's faults and to see all kinds of jobs that somebody else ought to do. And somebody told me about a young man that had someone was trying to encourage to do something, and they said, "Well, this tool has got your name on it." But he couldn't see it. He didn't see that. He said, "No, I think it's your name that's on that tool." And the young man refused to help. Now, that's pretty plain fault in my eyes. Somebody that refuses to help, even when it's presented to them like that. They just, "No, I won't touch it." Well, that's easy for me to see. Maybe it's because of my personality or whatever. But I know that I have faults. There's people out there that probably say, "I don't know why Brother Danny don't do this," or "I don't know why he don't do that." I mean, surely it's just as plain as the nose on his face. He ought to be able to see that. Well, y'all pray for me. I want to have a desire for the Lord. I want to be able to see myself. I want to be able to accept responsibility for my own actions and for who I am. Ask the Lord to help me with that. And then I'd like to go on a little bit further. You know, it's one thing for us to see these blatant faults. You know, the thing that David did was very blatant. The evidence was going to be very public. But it's another thing when there's things that's not so obvious. It was pretty obvious that Bathsheba was going to have a child. It would have been very obvious. And one of the consequences was that child was not going to live. I'd like to turn to Psalms 139. I want to step up the notch of difficulty. It says here, 139 and verse 23, the psalmist, was it David? My Bible says this is a psalm of David. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." I'm going to tell you, my thoughts are not actions yet. My thoughts, have you ever run into somebody that felt like they could read what was on your mind? "I know what you're thinking." You ever heard it? Had anybody say that to you? I have. Sometimes they're maybe right, and sometimes they're so wrong. Sometimes they're so wrong. They don't have a clue what was going on in my mind right then. But David here says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." I want to tell you, when we get to this place, we're saying, "Lord, I want to see myself. I want to know. Search me and see if there's something down in there that I'm not recognizing." And he says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me." Not, "Help me, Lord, to discern the wickedness in everybody else." That's not what David's prayer was. He said, "Help me to see if there's a wicked way in me. If there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, help us to be able to see ourselves. Lord, help us to make ourselves vulnerable to the Lord. Search me, Lord. I want to be able to see myself. It's easy for me to look around. All of us to look around. We can find all kinds of things that other people need to fix. But Lord, help me to have a desire to see myself.
Yes.
I want to improve for God's sake. Some people just want to improve for their own sake. I want to improve for God's sake. I want His Spirit to be able to shine through. I want His image to be portrayed. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Well, no, I want to go 13th. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Notice a verse here. The Apostle Paul's writing to these folks, and we know this as the love chapter. Talks about charity a lot. But down in the 12th verse, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Did you know that God knows? He knows what you really look like. Lord, help me to see myself. Help me to be able... I know I'm looking through a glass darkly. I have to wear glasses now to be able to read the fine print, to read much print, unless it's a road sign. I can read those without my glasses. But I have to have glasses to read a book, to be able to read wiring diagrams and things like that, understand things. I've got to have some glasses. And without them, everything is fuzzy. And it's so easy for us to just have fuzzy spiritual vision. But my burden here today is that we ask the Lord. It's not easy. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's something that we got to work on. We got to have a hungering and a thirsting for. We got to have a vision of who God is, of His majesty. I can't see myself if I can't see God. Not very effectively. But if I can see God and then ask Him, "Lord, help me. I know I'm looking through a glass darkly, but help me to see the things that I need to change. Help me to see the things that I need to improve on, that I need to make adjustments in my character." There's going to come a day, though, that we'll be able to see just like the Lord sees us. And now let's turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And notice what the writer says, Hebrews 4 and 13. He says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Who are we going to have to deal with? You don't have to deal with me. Even if you're afraid of me, you don't have to deal with me. When it comes to spiritual things, you're going to have to deal with God. And you know, I might see some faults in you, but God knows who you really are. And if you're hiding something, you're not hiding it from Him. He knows all about it. So that's why it's important for us, Lord, help me to see myself. Help me to see who I am. I don't want to come up to the judgment with whom we have to do. The things are all naked and open to Him. There's nothing we can hide from Him. So help me to see myself now. Lord, help me not to just be focused on all the things it's easy for me to see. Do I see problems in this world? Oh, yes, I see lots of problems. I see problems in our society. I see problems all around us. I see problems in other people. I see problems that I think they ought to just not know better. It's pretty easy for us to do that, isn't it? And we don't have to be very old to see problems in other people. Little children can see that. But it's hard for us to see our own selves. Lord, help me. I'm going to stand before You one of these days. Not only, I remember hearing a minister say one time, maybe more than one time in my life, that he asked the Lord, Lord, help me to see myself like You see me. I'm going to tell you. He was rebuked by the Lord. The Lord said, you can't handle that. You can't handle that. But Lord, help me to see myself. Maybe not like He sees me. I might be overwhelmed. But help me to see my faults. Help me to see the things I can fix, the things that I need to work on. Lord, let's turn to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Notice, you remember John was the one that Peter was worried about and what he was going to do. You remember where we read that? Over there, Peter said, what would this man do? But notice what John says over here, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, beginning in the first verse. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Did you know that it's the mercies and the love of God that is shown toward us, that we might be saved, that we might have an opportunity to cultivate a desire to know the Lord? And if we know the Lord and have a vision of His majesty, then and only then will we be able to see our own faults, our own shortcomings, the things that are ugly in God's sight. And when we're in that, John says, behold what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't really know what it's going to be like. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now Moses had a desire to see the Lord and see His glory, didn't he? And John says, we know when Jesus appears, we'll be able to see Him, for we'll see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Have you ever wished that you could fix somebody else's problems? Anybody ever had that? Well, don't feel alone, because I have too. I have seen other people that I felt like had serious problems in their life. And I have felt like, you know, if they would just come and say, Brother Danny, could you help me with this big thingy in my life? I would say, yes, sir, I know exactly what you need to do. Because it's easy for me to see. I mean, it's just as plain as the nose on your face. I mean, everybody else knows you got a problem. Right? But that's not what the Scripture teaches us to do. The Scripture teaches us that we ought to work on who? Ourself. He says here, every man that hath this hope. What hope? A hope that we'll be able to meet the Lord and see Him as He is and be like Him. Let me read that again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see him as he is. And then the last verse we read was, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is. Lord, help me to have a vision of you and the beauty of holiness, the beauty of who you are, the majesty of who you are. And then, Lord, help me to see myself. Because I can, just naturally speaking, I can see everybody else. But that's not who the Lord wants me to fix. The Lord wants me to fix me. He wants me to work on me. Lord, help me to have this hope. Hope of what? Of meeting God in peace, of being acceptable, of having eternal fellowship with the God of heaven. And how we're going to get there? We're going to have to ask the Lord to help me to purify myself. Help me to clean up myself. If you got mirrors that you're looking in, you know, I know, there's mirrors that's advertised out there to make you look skinny and to make you look beautiful. We've heard fairy tale stories about magic mirrors and how that magic mirrors talked to some people and told them who was the fairest or the most beautiful in the world. And I'm going to tell you, all of those kind of things are, it's just a hoax. It's just a hoax. But may the Lord help us to look in the mirror of the Word for ourselves. You know, it's easy for us to find a scripture that fits somebody else. Ever notice that? Oh, boy, I wish so-and-so would read this. I mean, this ought to turn some light bulbs on in their mind. I mean, we think that sometimes, but the Lord tells me to work on me. Lord, help me to see myself. I want y'all to pray for me. I want to be able to see the things that the Lord wants to change in me. I want to be acceptable in His sight. I want to be one of those that can meet Him at peace. You pray for me.